At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of new items, like Honeycrisp apples for $2.99 a pound and boneless, skinless chicken breasts for just $3.99 a pound. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through November 4th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into hour number two of the early line on this Monday morning right here on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. And it's time to take another look at World Cup 2022. The action has continued to deliver over the weekend. We saw the semifinals be set. Argentina, Croatia, Morocco, and France. You take a look at how the Saturday action played out. And France and England were in a battle, but Olivier Giroud found the winner. Harry Kane misses the penalty. Morocco defensively have still just been tremendous as they kept a clean sheet against Portugal. And all of that was fun, but it was hard to deliver and match what Friday had offered. Two games that each went to penalties, had tremendous drama throughout. Argentina escaping the Netherlands, and of course, Croatia upsetting Brazil. What did you make, Donnie, the quarterfinal round at World Cup 2022?
Yeah, tough thing for Brazil to go down there, being the more talented team, as we thought, and also having the lead in extra time, weren't able to hold on and go down to defeat. But I think the bigger picture here is felt like a final type game, right, with France versus England. Ends up 2-1 here, but Harry Kane got the one penalty kick at 54, made that count. But then everybody thought he was going to be the savior to send it off in the extras and absolutely choked on the second penalty. And as he talked about, Kevin, look, sometimes in the United States, we don't put it on this big of a magnitude. But for Harry Kane, for the rest of his life, no matter how many goals he scored for his country, he'll sit down in a restaurant. So I'm like, that's Harry Kane over there. Yeah, you remember when he missed that penalty kick against France, which could have helped us win that game.
So there's DRS basically saying that Harry Kane's life has been ruined.
Yeah.
Which is a tough Beckham scene
loves
there.
It. He loves it.
From DRS. How about that? Again, the matches were tremendous. You also saw, again, just kind of the importance there of knowing when your wagers are placed down, as some people found out on the Friday, the extra time, the 90-minute winners, and everything that comes with that. But let's help recap all of this here and set you up for what is to come over at Sporting News. Simon Borg has the latest on World Cup 2022.
Who saw a France versus Morocco World Cup semifinal coming? Now that it's here, it's going to be a fascinating battle between the defending champs and the first-time semifinalists who were 250-1 to win it all at the start of the tournament. I'm Simon Borg of the Sporting News with your World Cup update. The Atlas Lions of Morocco made history by reaching the World Cup semis. They're the first African team to reach this stage, and they've absolutely deserved it. They defend so well. Just look at all the zeros so far in the World Cup. Just one goal given up in five games. That was an own goal. Theirs is the best defense in this tournament. Then on the other end of the field, they score just enough and make it hold up. So the question is going to be this. Can this Moroccan defense, which is also dealing with injuries, can it hold up against the attacking juggernaut that is France, with superstars and difference makers all over the field? Yes, there is a chance that Morocco can pull off the upset, but the odds really don't give them a shot now, do they? Morocco are nearly 6-1 underdogs, and this is a World Cup semifinal. You get to a World Cup semifinal, you're supposed to get two good teams, and one of them is 6-1. We've just explained Morocco are no fluke. So a flyer on Morocco to advance, whether that's in regulation or penalty kicks, is definitely worth a shot. And that is at almost 3-1 odds. If that's your thing and you don't like betting against a hot team and a hot goalkeeper. But they are taking on the world champs France, who are on another level of speed, technique, and power that might be too much for Morocco in the end. As the likes of England found out in the quarterfinals, France have just too many attacking weapons. If it's not one, the other will hurt you. So Morocco may be a great story, but my pick here has to be France, parlayed with the under 3.5 total goals at around even money. If France even get one goal, then I think it's going to be too steep a mountain for Morocco to be able to climb. I picked against Morocco in the quarters, and I'm doing it again here in the semis. There just comes a point when the difference in quality has to win out in the end.
Appreciate that breakdown there from Simon. Radio audience joining us throughout here on the early line on this Monday morning, Sirius XM, channel 159. Today's match is Argentina versus Croatia. If you're looking to play in the qualify market, Argentina's minus 320, a big-time favorite to move forward. But you'll notice how light it is in comparison when you get involved on the triple money line. That would have to be decided within the first 90 minutes. Argentina's minus 130. The draw there is plus 230. And then Croatia checks in at plus 420. Perhaps tempting to get involved with a double chance, Croatia or a draw, to at least not lose this game within those 90 minutes. Again, maybe a tempting number.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's also interesting, too, at the FanDuel Sportsbook here for the uneducated gambler in soccer, which I tend to be at times. The full details listed just above here. Wagers cover regulation time, extra time, and penalties. Home team refers to the first country listed. Away team to second country listed. There you go. Look at that. Nice and easy here. Just the way you want to bet this coming up here for these quarterfinals or semifinals.
Argentina over a half a goal in the first half, I thought was an interesting number. Very light juice to be involved there. They have not done it every single game, and Croatia has relied on their defense, though. Again, this should be a little bit of a step up for this squad here today, playing an Argentina side. I also thought Croatia, 8 total shots, was an interesting number at only minus 115. Should be on the back foot here. It's a World Cup semifinal, so you would have to think it's a sellout to get shots on net, even if they're not super high quality. And again, they don't have to be on net, just 8 overall at minus 115. We've seen a couple of the Argentina opponents be able to accomplish that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Two games yesterday I thought were... They fit perfectly together. And that was the Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings, and the Tennessee Titans, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Two games where two squads enter up against a division leader, an assumed division winner, and absolutely roll that football team. We begin in Detroit. The line that shocked the world, the Vikings catching a number in Detroit. A line that told us that the bookmakers have seen enough. The bettors have seen enough, helping push this number Detroit's direction. The Vikings are just not all that good. And I thought a lot about that line, and if I were in charge, what would I have done with it? And I think it probably would have been Minnesota's direction, though. Even myself, it wouldn't have been Minnesota laying a big number, right? It wouldn't have been some 4-point favorite in Detroit. Home field advantage matters, and the Vikings are not all that great. But I actually thought the Vikings would find a way in this game because, again, they've found a way all season long, and that's not how this went. Detroit, a couple of times, it looked like we're set up to give Kirk Cousins the football, needing a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, and you just knew they'd get the touchdown and maybe they'd lose on the 2-point conversion. But you knew it. But the Lions continued to convert, and the Lions are now playing phenomenal football. And I leave this game open to the idea that the Detroit Lions are just the better football team compared to the Minnesota Vikings?
They were the better football team for sure yesterday. And let me get this straight. Imagine this, Kevin. Crystal ball time comes out. I'm going to tell you, Kirk Cousins, it's not going to be playing in primetime. It's going to be a 1 o'clock game, going to be in a dome against a team with an under 500 record. He's going to go 31-41 for 425, two touchdowns, and no interceptions in this game. And the Vikings got absolutely waxed in this one, and were basically never in it. How about Jared Goff? 39 pass attempts, 330 yards, three touchdowns, and no interceptions. It's real. He might be playing himself for an extension with this franchise because they're talented all the way around. They got three, not just two, three legitimate running backs and a pretty good plethora of wide receivers. Let's also not forget here, they traded TJ Hockenson, one of the better tight ends in football, to the Minnesota Vikings, and it seems like they haven't skipped a beat since then either. But also, taking a look at Minnesota overall, here's some of the question marks I have coming in, Kevin, because you're right. If you look at Kirk Cousins' statistics, they make a lot of sense. Also, you have a first and goal inside the 5-yard line with about a minute left to go in this game. I do believe the Detroit Lions still had one timeout left. So if you're the Minnesota Vikings, you want to hand the football probably at least two times, get it close to the goal line, if not score a touchdown, but run the clock down, get points, probably going to be a touchdown, and have it tied up at the half. Kevin, I know you saw this play. You hand off to Dalvin Cook, one of the best running backs in the NFL, to throw a pop pass that he ends up fumbling, and away go the Detroit Lions the other way. Sometimes I just don't understand. And also, why are we going for two-point conversions in the middle of a football game when you don't need to go for two-point conversions? Sometimes I just can't help myself where you say some of these young play callers and how smart they are, and I know the Vikings are coming in with a 10-2 record here, but only you just make the easy choice there. If you hand it off to Dalvin Cook, you probably score again. He already had a rushing touchdown in the game. You go tied in at the break as opposed to losing all momentum here. Sometimes I just shake my head at this, but also let's center this around the fact that the Detroit Lions – actually have a decent football team. It's a lot different 6-7 football team in Detroit getting the feeling than a 6-7 point football team that's actually in first place in Tampa. Detroit looks like they are going to make a run to try to get into the playoffs, which just a month and a half ago, you would have got laughed at for that sort of take.
My thing with the Minnesota Vikings, while the goal line mess, right, two-point conversions, it's not why they lost this game. Jared Goff dice them up start to finish. And we could talk about Jared Goff extensions and whatnot, and that chatter is growing. But Jared Goff is not the first team to light this team up. The Vikings secondary is atrocious. Across the board, their defense is not all that good. Again, I came on here, they beat the Buffalo Bills, I told you they were frauds, and all they have done is let you know that that is now not even a take. It's just a fact. They're going to be in the playoffs, and nobody's scared of them. And they shouldn't be, because it's just a bad defense plus Kirk Cousins. So Kirk Cousins is going to have to play mistake-free, very good football in a playoff game in order for the Minnesota Vikings to go on a run. That run is not coming. The Detroit Lions' schedule is there for them to go on a legitimate run to make the postseason. We'll get to that as the week continues. But I want to make sure that we get to the Titans and the Jags game. The Jacksonville Jaguars have been incredible to watch this season. I entered this game, though, kind of over the whole thing. A 4-8 football team that was 4-8 against the spread. The Jags have their moments, but it wasn't going to be their year. And all of a sudden, now I'm convinced they might just go out here and win the AFC South. Trevor Lawrence with probably the best game of his career. 368 passing yards, 8.8 per attempt, three touchdowns, added one on the ground. They hang 36 points on the Tennessee Titans. Again, the Philadelphia Eagles put 35 on the Titans, and that was the first time that anybody had lit this defense up, and the Jags said, we'll do you one better. This is a performance that, even if it's just for 7 days, has to make me a believer once again on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, and how about this, too? Like, the Tennessee Titans with Derrick Henry looked like he was on his way to, like, 250 yards of rushing in that game. He actually finished with 17 carries for 121 yards and a touchdown, which, as a team, they ran for 6.9 yards per carry and got smoked here. And you know what I like the best of it? Look, Doug Peterson, I don't know who, if he has any friends still left in Philadelphia, coaching staff-wise, maybe call Jeff Stoutland here, goes, hey, you know what? Just looking for some pointers on the Titans. And they go, just throw the football. trust us later here, because Trevor Lawrence was sensational. 30 for 42, 8.8 yards per attempt, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was wonderful. And you're getting those glimpses of what we saw from Clemson. Last year was like, man, what a wasted year for Trevor Lawrence. What did we actually get out of it? And some of that little malaise, you know, ran over into 2022. But the Jacksonville Jaguars are 5-8. There's a lot of talent on that roster. Now we start to take a look at the Tennessee Titans and go, all right, this was supposed to be just an easy divisional race to sort of run it out, but that might not no longer be the case here. Now, I understand the Titans do have a lot of key components out to injury that they'll probably get back in the next coming weeks here, but you can't be at home after getting absolutely blown away by the Eagles, getting blown away by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and everything that we knew was stepping up. Ryan Tannehill's not a great passing quarterback. We get it. You don't have very many weapons here in the passing game from a wide receiver position. And also, I will say this until the cows come home. Where would this Tennessee Titans be if they had a wide receiver like A.J. Brown to open up everything? Well, we'll never know at this point right now, but now the Tennessee Titans are 7-6. But that's an impressive victory on the road, which somebody on Friday told you those Jacksonville Jaguars at plus 168 would be victorious.
We did have a turn the clock back sweep on the money line dogs on the pick six, which was beautiful. Nice to see. No doubt about it. But where the Titans would be with A.J. Brown? They have a couple more wins, but same place we always think. Nobody believes in them. All that scary, because that's who the Tennessee Titans are. By the way, Derrick Henry, this awesome game, he had 2 rushing yards in the second half. I mean, that is incredible to think about, considering it looked like he was on his way for, as you mentioned, 200 yards. Right now, the odds in the division are Tennessee minus 550, Jacksonville plus 480. You might see that and say, all right, so why are we even entertaining this conversation? Because before this game, the Titans were flirting with a minus 2,000 price in the division. The schedules are there for these teams to play week 18 in Jacksonville with the division on the line. It's absolutely live, and it's not if Jacksonville runs the table. They can only really afford one loss. But it still goes to show that this division, all of the sudden, is a race once again, because the Titans hit the tough part of their schedule.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Four top teams in the AFC, at least as the odds makers see it, are the Buffalo Bills, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Baltimore Ravens. All four of those teams coming away with victories on Sunday. Let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs game against the Denver Broncos, because I think there's a couple of directions you can take this football game. The Chiefs put up 34 on the Denver Broncos on the road. Most points Denver's allowed all season long. And only the second time they've even allowed over 30 points. But they did allow 28 points. They allowed the Denver Broncos offense to look lively. And Mahomes was picked off 3 times. So again, it's kind of a game that's in the eye of the beholder here, DRS. What did you take away from this Chiefs performance?
I didn't really take away that much, because anytime you get one of those games, Kevin, as you said, 27-0, the foot comes off the gas pedal, and sometimes you lose a little bit of focus, which credit Russell Wilson for, you know, fighting through the boos, which were there for a large portion of that first half. But it did kind of get interesting in the second half, as we said. You have the football with a chance to drive down and win the game, and we're driving. And then you get that interception there, so the Kansas City Chiefs stepped up. I don't take all that much away. This wasn't one of those games where I looked at and said, hey, you know what? Kansas City, Kevin, they're really vulnerable. Did you see what the Denver Broncos did? I didn't have that takeaway one bit here. I thought the game was kind of interesting that we talked about last week, where you had some warmer conditions in Denver, so you got a lot of points scored in that football game. But again, Chiefs are very good. As long as they stay healthy, they're going to be there at the end.
So the Kansas City Chiefs, if you look at this football team and what is keeping them near the top, it is just basically what's kind of been the story for this whole run, right? It's Patrick Mahomes. As this is where you kind of put the fandom hat on, I'd love to see Jalen Hurts win an MVP, because I'm a Jalen Hurts guy, no surprise. But I'm not someone that is thinking it needs to be Patrick or it needs to be Jalen Hurts. Pat Mahomes is as valuable to this football team as ever. Now, Jalen Hurts is the new favorite, minus 105 to Pat Mahomes plus 140. Mm-hmm. And that the three interceptions doesn't help. It really doesn't. But Mahomes does not have around him a defense as good as the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't want to do the weapons thing because Travis Kelce is maybe the greatest tight end of all time. Andy Reid versus Nick Sirianni. There's no way Chiefs fans are going to start to all of a sudden be like, oh, come on, Nick Sirianni's just as good when they label Andy Reid the best head coach in football. And Andy Reid's easily one of the five best coaches in football, offensive genius. So, but Pat Mahomes, week in, week out, it feels like he has to be so excellent offensively. And that was never more evident than here in this game. All of the sudden, you ask yourself, would the Broncos have won a game if Russell Wilson didn't get injured? I mean, that feels like it could have very well been the difference. Of course, Brett Rippon wasn't going to go and lead a late touchdown game-winning drive. That's the concern for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a bottom 10 defense in football. And when you line up against the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals or even the Baltimore Ravens, you know Patrick Mahomes is going to bring his best. But if it's a little bit underneath that, you worry if this defense can do enough. One team whose defense played really well on Sunday was the Buffalo Bills. Their MVP-level quarterback, I put it in air quotes because he's not even remotely in the race anymore, but I've told you that a month ago, Josh Allen, not great. Not great. He did some running, 10 for 47 and a touchdown, which is not spectacular. 16 of 27 passing, 147 yards, one touchdown. Hey, no interceptions. I would be pumped about that. 5.4 yards per pass. This was an ugly performance here from Josh Allen. Bills got the job done, but Josh Allen has not been playing MVP-level football now for about a month.
No, but they're still winning and still the number one seed, and you're going to take a look at the effects here. The Buffalo Bills played at home yesterday in the rain, the sleet, the snow, and the wind, and were able to come away with a victory. The Jets are a good football team, sitting there at 7-6 right now. That defense is very good, so the Bills winning ugly. I'm not going to take away. Same thing with you have the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, they barely beat the Denver Broncos, who stink. I'm not going to take anything away, but there are some of those things where you would like to be a little bit more confident. As I said, I have a ticket. The only ticket I have, the future to win the Super Bowl, is on the Buffalo Bills here, and I'm rooting them on each and every week, but we're not getting those victories for the Buffalo Bills where you sit back and seem like, you know what? Just like the Philadelphia Eagles had yesterday, a rousing victory, a blowout here where you can sit back and say, you know what? This team is going to run away with it because, quite frankly, their season is going to come down to playing the Cincinnati Bengals on the road in the regular season. Donnie, that's ludicrous. What do you mean by that? Trust me. If the Buffalo Bills don't have home field advantage, can they win the AFC? Sure, they can win it. They're a good football team. But I think they absolutely need 100%, Kevin, to get that top overall seed to make sure you're playing in Buffalo in the frigid conditions where Josh Allen absolutely can run the ball and also throw it through a brick wall. That is your advantage, and it's going to come down to one game coming up in just a few short weeks.
Look, the reality is, sure, they're winning games, but again, if we were to just go through that read on it, then we'd still be talking about the Vikings like they're good, and they're not. Josh Allen, over the first 8 weeks of football, was throwing 300 yards per game, 8.1 yards per pass. He totaled 19 touchdowns. The eight interceptions were still there. But since then, in six games, it's 226 yards per game. It's 6.6 yards per pass. It's seven touchdowns to five interceptions. It's down across the board for Josh Allen now over these six games. They were 7-1 to start it. Again, they're now 4-2 over the last six, but it's not of the same level. Josh Allen has not been a tier one quarterback for over a month, and that was on display here against the New York Jets. The Cincinnati Bengals handled their business against the Cleveland Browns. I was impressed by this. I really was. I thought the Browns would hang in this football game. They had an opportunity to flirt with a backdoor, but Watson's not been good since his return. In fact, Watson's been so bad that The Browns have been completely unnoteworthy since he's returned to action, which I actually didn't think was possible. I thought that when Watson returned, we would be forced to talk about him on a consistent basis. No, that's just the level of football the Browns are playing that he's not. The Bengals here, though, defensively getting the job done. The offense, maybe you could say, leaves a little bit to be desired, but a game where they were injured kind of as it continued. Ja'Marr Chase was phenomenal. Joe Burrow was solid. Joe Mixon was a welcome addition back into this lineup as they averaged 5.2 yards per carry on the ground as a football team. And Cincinnati stays neck and neck in this race with the Baltimore Ravens for the AFC North.
Yeah, I was really impressed with this victory. Now, you can come away and say, okay, 23-10, it wasn't all that impressive. But again, we sort of knock other football teams. Well, what do you want Justin Herbert to do without his two top wide receivers? Now, granted, Ja'Marr Chase has been back for the past 2 weeks. He was wonderful yesterday, as usually is. 10 catches for 119 and one score. But how about this? T. Higgins played one play in this game. Boyd went down early in this game with a broken finger and didn't come back into it. You lost one of your defensive linemen, and it was never in doubt for me that the Bengals were the better football team all the way through. This shows you, when this team is right, they can beat anywhere at any time. So when I look forward to in 2 weeks when the Buffalo Bills come to town, that's going to be a tough one. Same vein as I looked at when Kansas City came to town. Cincinnati's going to beat them here. I actually am getting the vibe that Cincinnati's probably going to take down the Buffalo Bills and ruin their dreams here. And again, keep in mind, Kevin, the Bengals are 9-4. They already have a win in their pocket against Kansas City. If they get a win in their pocket against the Bills, which means the Bills would automatically be at that fourth loss, they'd have the tiebreaker. You're just waiting for Kansas City to slip up one time, and the Bengals could be home for the holidays as that number one overall seed. Watch out for the Bengals. They are as live as anybody in the AFC right now.
I do think for Cincinnati, not that they're incapable of winning on the road, but it is a tougher sell if they are not in the top spot in their own division to have to go. And again, that's why there's not a lot of teams that make that kind of a leap. It's why so often, in fact, having the bye is super, super valuable. I understand last year that the bye week ultimately did not lead to either of those teams getting to the Super Bowl, but especially with the way we look at the AFC, considering it's going to likely be either Buffalo or Kansas City with that bye, if the Bengals are having to do this out of the five spot, it could be tough. But maybe they win the AFC North. Well, the Baltimore Ravens got a good result in trying to keep that at bay, though the details of it were difficult. It's one thing to lose Lamar Jackson. It's another now to be in a spot with the San Francisco 49ers where you're on quarterback three. Anthony Brown having to step in after Tyler Huntley suffered a concussion. This team in the Baltimore Ravens plays the Cleveland Browns on Saturday. So shorter turnaround. Again, I thought the Ravens would win this game. I'm not surprised that they won this game. I thought they could look a little bit better, but Tyler Huntley only played a half of football. They scored three points after Huntley left. I think they would have dominated this game maybe at the final of it had he stayed in the game. But if the Ravens now are on quarterback three DRS, then this could be a bit troublesome here as they try and stay neck and neck with, of course, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, it is going to be troublesome. But then again, I still don't know how the Baltimore Ravens are 9-4. And again, we can argue that maybe the Baltimore Ravens could be unbeaten at this point here. They win ugly. They know how to do it. And sometimes, Kevin, you just go back to the preseason. We joke sometimes like, boy, they take it real serious. No, whenever there's a scoreboard keeping score and time is running, the Baltimore Ravens know how to win. That's a gutsy performance. Even though Kenny Pickett got knocked out after one pass attempt, would certainly change some things up because the Maserati came out there and threw three picks, K-Dub.
Yeah, he certainly did. The Ravens got a great game out of their running backs. Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins combining for almost 200 yards on the ground was very, very impressive. Monday Night Football, right around the corner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here with Monday Night Football coming up. Before we get there, though, one more game I wanted to mention from yesterday's slate, which was the Seattle Seahawks matchup and the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers were catching a short number and jumped out to an early 17-0 lead. But a DK Metcalf touchdown with under 20 seconds remaining in the first half made this game 20-14. And at that point, you thought, ooh, Seattle momentum, here they come. And the Panthers held on, and they won this football game 30-24, 5-8, legitimately in an NFC South race. The Seattle Seahawks are 7-6, and they're going to be fighting for their NFC playoff lives. Which of these teams are you more interested in right now when we're talking about postseason races?
I don't know about the Carolina Panthers, to be honest with you, though. I know they're sitting at 5-8. By the way, Wilkes, if he's not the head coach already named next year, it'd be pretty incredible if he's not. Because if you're looking at this Carolina Panthers team that was dead in the water, trading away their better players and still winning football games now with a legitimate chance to maybe even win the AFC South, that's pretty incredible. Let's take a look at the game overall, though. Chuba Hubbard, 14 carries, 74 yards. Deontay Foreman, 21 carries, 74 yards. That's where the game was won. 46 carries on the ground, 223 and two touchdowns on the ground. Maybe Tampa Bay, Kevin, could take a little page here from the Carolina Panthers of how they're winning football games, because the narrative will be, hey, look at that. You just start Sam Darnold and you win football games. Yeah, buddy had 120 yards passing and one touchdown here. He wasn't the catalyst for this game. It was the ground attack here. But I got to tell you, I'm a little bit leery on the Seattle Seahawks now moving forward. This is a team that mightily overachieved and now sort of running up against, I don't want to say a wall at this point, like the Giants. Are like, wow, how did the Giants have so many wins? They're really not that good. You're starting to see the cream rise to the top in the NFL. The same thing with the Seattle Seahawks. And also, Kevin, when you talk about betting circumstances heading into the week, what's the number one game we looked at here? Detroit Lions, right? Now, hold on. How are they favored against a 10-win football team? You saw that here. We also have those eyebrows raised a little bit going, now, why is this line around 3 here for the Seattle Seahawks facing the Carolina Panthers? Maybe if the Seahawks were on the road against the Carolina Panthers, that would make a lot more sense. But that's a great team win for the Carolina Panthers to keep it moving forward. And maybe Matt Rhule just was a bad NFL coach at this point, because the Carolina Panthers are showing moxie every single week.
Oh, yeah, Matt Rhule stunk out loud. If you're Nebraska, I wouldn't think about it a lot, because pros to college, very, very different. But I wouldn't be over the moon about it, right? Baker Mayfield, 98-yard touchdown drive, the L.A. debut, and Steve Wilkes has earned this job in season, which we never thought would be possible. Never. Look, the Carolina schedule, they're going to host the Steelers this week, maybe play Trubisky, favorite in that football game. They're going to host the Detroit Lions. Lions are playing better. That's winnable, though. You go to Tampa Bay. Here's the thing. We're talking about winning the NFC South. You're going to have to be able to beat the Bucs if you want to be able to win the NFC South. They've already beat Tampa Bay this year. They close it out with New Orleans. Now we're talking about a ridiculous stretch with Sam Darnold at quarterback. My point is, we are at a point in the calendar where we have so few games left, you have to start with the schedule before anything else. Are they playing the Chiefs, the Niners, the Bills, and the Bengals 4 weeks in a row? No. So that all of a sudden makes Carolina fascinating. For Seattle, it's the Niners on Thursday night. It's the Chiefs the next week on a Saturday in Arrowhead. If this team is not under 500 when we hit the new year, that would be one heck of an accomplishment. Now, luckily for them, you would think one of the Commanders or Giants will lose next week, though no guarantee. Maybe it'll end in a tie again. But all of a sudden, Seattle is worrying about the piping hot Detroit Lions. This Seattle, again, we talk about teams playing. They were 6-3. They are now 7-6 with the one victory, Donnie, being a 4-point win against the Los Angeles Rams with John Wofford. Seahawks are playing bad football, and they are, again, it feels like they probably peaked already.
No, they did peak already, because if we look at, again, one of the harder things to do in the NFL, we get it. Go on the road to win on Thursday night, and you do have a pretty good home field advantage in Seattle. But let's just say they lose to the 49ers. They're not beating the Chiefs in Kansas City, which then leads you to say, okay, whew, we had two home games left here in our own building. The Jets are going to be fighting for their playoff life, bringing a pretty good defense up there to go against you. And then how about the Rams, the final game? Let's also remember this. Remember the Philadelphia Eagles played the Washington Commanders or the Washington football team at the time? They said, you know what? We don't care about this football game. We want to tank because we want to move up an extra 5 spots in the draft if we lose this game. Enter Nate Sudfeld. That game gets out of hand. Everybody's angry at the Eagles, but it got them Devontae Smith. Look at the Rams in the final game. Let's imagine this. Now, I don't know how smart this would be. Let's just say Cooper Kupp's healthy. He wants to play football. Aaron Donald is healthy. He wants to play football. That's completely different with Baker Mayfield now, a quarterback where the only thing they care about is playing spoiler because it has no bearing on their actual drafting needs. That's a worst-case scenario here for the Seahawks.
I actually think there is some juice to what you're saying, right? Of if Cooper Kupp's like, with 2 weeks left, Cooper Kupp's like, hey, look, yeah. I'm at 812 yards. We're not tanking for a pick. I can go get another 1,000-yard season. I want to play with Baker. Let me see what it's all about, right? Aaron Donald's like, hey, look, I don't know if I'm going to play again next year. I might as well roll the football out, too. I don't think that's crazy at all to suggest you could see guys other than Matt Stafford play, if available, for the Los Angeles Rams. In the NFC West tonight, we've got another team in action that, of course, is the Arizona Cardinals. They're a 1.5-point home underdog to the New England Patriots. I think that speaks volumes to how they view the Arizona Cardinals. The New England Patriots have not been playing football at the level to me where they should be out here laying a number on the road in Arizona. I know the last time we saw the Cardinals, it wasn't a great look, but also the last time we saw the Cardinals was 2 weeks ago. Cardinals are a home dog off of a bye? I have to look Arizona's direction here when we're talking Monday Night Football.
Yeah, probably going to be live here in this one because Kyler Murray will be healthy. Remember, he was struggling a little bit with those hamstring injuries. You have a decent backfield back. Also, A.J. Green at wide receiver, Hopkins and Brown. You're going to have some formidable things, but also the one thing that worries me just a little bit here is Arizona's run defense. And if we know anything about Bill Belichick, he would just love to take the air out of the football, Mac Jones, even though it's a dome to throw 20 times or less to try to control the ground game. But if we're looking just from a statistical standpoint on whose offense should be able to move the ball, it should be the Arizona Cardinals. But having said that, Kevin, you look at the line, it doesn't make all that much sense because we talk about things in what's your ceiling? Like when we talk about the Buccaneers and we talk about the Titans, like, well, you better score 20 points because that's the max you can get to and you better play some really good defense. That always feels to me like the New England Patriots. What's the New England Patriots' perfect game plan, Kevin? 24 points in this game. So even if the Arizona Cardinals aren't clicking on all cylinders, they're going to be in it all the way through. Now, am I saying that the Arizona Cardinals should be able to win this football game? No, but I'm not looking at the New England Patriots as some offensive juggernaut that's going to run away from them. They'll be in this football all the way through, and that 43.5 does make some sense here.
I want to try and narrow in on this New England Patriots defense. For the season allowing 18.8 points per game, but that to me is very misleading. Against Tua, Rodgers, Lamar, Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, and Josh Allen, half of their schedule, they allow 29 points per game. Against Trubisky, Goff, Brissett, Zach Wilson, Sam Ellinger, and Zach Wilson again, that's the other half of their schedule, 8.7 points per game. So it is a 20-point gap when they play a good quarterback. I'm sure some people will say, come on, the Goff shutout. The Lions, I think, maybe a different team at the time. At the minimum, it was on the road in conditions that we rarely see Goff play well in. I look at Kyler Murray as the top half of that list, the 29-point-per-game team, Donnie, far more than I look at them as the group that would score 9 points per game. To narrow in, then, it makes me interested in an Arizona Cardinals team total tonight, which is 20.5. Props, markets, touchdown scores. What do you want to do here? Ramondre Stevenson's got a big number on him, checking in at minus 160.
Yeah, we got a couple of them. Let's start with the touchdown market with Ramondre Stevenson. How about this, Kevin? If I would have told you, like, hey, man, they run the football. He's the lead back. Nobody's going to challenge him. That's not a rushing touchdown, Kevin, in 5 games. So certainly you're going against a team that does allow rushing yards, but he isn't one of those guys. If I didn't tell you that stat, you go, no. He's probably scored at least 3 out of those 5 games, no question about it. Well, he's actually caught a touchdown pass, but rushing on the ground, none in the last 5. How about James Conner? 4 touchdowns here combined in the past 3 games. That's the way I would be looking for here in the touchdown market. Now, if we flip it over outside the touchdown market and just go, let's just say, you know, receiving or rushing props, how about James Conner? 18 and a half yards, Kevin, is his receptions prop. In 7 of 9 games that he's played this year, he's had 17 or more reception yards. So he'll be in the ballpark there. And how about his rushing props here? 4 of 6 games over 55 yards. So you get the drift from me. Looking in the touchdown market, the reception market, and the rushing market here going overall for him. Also, how about this? Kyler Murray, 6 games here, 324 rushing yards over those previous 6 games. 54 yards per game on the average. Now, the thing I like about this game, which always contradicts the point, right? A good pass rush for New England means better effects here for running with your quarterback. And Kyler Murray now healthy. I think he goes over his rushing total here, Kevin.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Kyler Murray, if you look at it now, 60 yards against Seattle, 56 against the Chargers.
Yep.
Now off of a bye, another week healthy. Yeah. Healthy, the 34.5 could make sense. Lamar went for over 100 on this team. Fields went for over 80. They did keep Josh Allen in check as a runner last week, to be fair. But still, more often than not, we've seen the running quarterbacks have success. Ramondre Stevenson's, even his isolated rushing number at 75.5, is interesting. Knowing that Damian Harris is out, with the way this line is, you would think that Ramondre Stevenson won't be game scripted out here overall, and he should see a healthy workload. His efficiency against Buffalo was solid, as well as Minnesota. So you just need a bigger workload tonight for him, and I think you'll be able to get that against Arizona. Are there game specials you're targeting at all here on Monday Night Football?
3 of them that you're going to want to take a look at tonight. And the one, I think this is right up your alley because you love Kyler Murray rushing. How about this one at a plus 250 price? Kyler Murray to get 15 rushing yards in the first half and do the same thing in the second half. We're not looking for explosions. And you know, if he runs the football one time,
nice,
Kevin, on a design, he's probably got a legitimate chance to get that. So 15 and 15, that pays 250. Also, the old trusted here. Each team to score 1 rushing and 1 passing touchdown here. The best part about that is obviously their injuries aren't really a concern because there's no name tag behind them. That's also a plus 250 price. But how about this? If I'm loaded up on James Conner tonight, and I do think he's going to have a legitimate game in the passing game, maybe catches a screen, but also be your goal line back, 1 receiving touchdown and 1 rushing touchdown out of James Conner, that's 31-1 tonight here. So a couple game specials to take a look at here.
That's a big-time price. That is a huge, huge price there. In fact, the market I was hoping, and it's, I feel like this never lines up for me, but the 4 guys to score a touchdown market, but it's for 4. I was hoping it was for 3. Stevenson, Connor, Devontae Parker, and Hopkins. If it was for 3, I understand it wouldn't be plus 330, but I thought that would have been a really nice grouping all in all. That is a bit of a shame. But I'm sure there's going to be plenty more options. We'll dive into those more on Moneyline, 1 p.m. Eastern start time. We'll see you over on Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM, channel 159. But also, before you go anywhere, the early line is not over just yet. You got to make sure that you listen up as Donnie closes it out here on this Monday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment here on a Monday, an Armchair Quarterback Monday on the early line on the Sports Grid Network Series XM channel 159. Boy, we hit a lot of topics that are obviously centered around the NFL, 7 to 9 a.m. As always, Kevin and Donnie powering through. Before we hand it over to the Morning After and Ben Stevens, which I will be a part of in hour number one, also recapping some NFL action. Now, it's going to be a little bit here before we get to the college football playoff. We get it. So the playoffs that we're going to be talking about are the NFL, even though just a few weeks away. Also, I want to center this over the New York Jets, who are now on the outside looking in. Listen up. All right, let's talk about those Jets here. Well, overachievers, overachievers in the Big Apple 2 times with the New York Jets and the New York Giants. But will they finish and get to the playoffs is going to be the question. Because as we look at it right now with Mike White and those New York Jets, a couple losses here in a row to some pretty good football teams, now find themselves here on the outside looking in where the Chargers have an identical 7-6 record, but hold the tiebreaker right now over the Jets. Now, also, we know that Zach Wilson was bad. benched in an effort to put Mike White in because the offense should be a little bit better. And quite frankly, it has been. But having said that, back-to-back weeks here on the road against upper-level competition, Mike White hasn't thrown a single touchdown. But it doesn't get any easier here. Look at the resurgent Lions that you're going to play in your next game here. Now, granted, they're at home. Also, the Jaguars, fresh off of dropping the Titans, who may be looking at that division like it might be still up for grabs by the time they play. Then you're going to go on the road, and you're going to take on Seattle and Miami, each team also fighting for a playoff spot here. The New York Jets look like they might have been a shoo-in just a few short weeks ago to make the playoffs. Now seem like it might be a little bit on the outside here. But Mike White, tough guy. He has that locker room backing here, but they need a massive win. And quite frankly, maybe back-to-back massive wins here with the Lions and the Jaguars before heading out on the road to take on the Seahawks and the Dolphins. Before we get out of here, shout out to my guy Austin here, putting in big-time work behind the scenes. We wish him well back at Monmouth there. Thank you for all the hard work you put on.
This is Troy Millings from Earn Your Leisure. On Earn Your Leisure, we're all about smart money moves, and here's one most people skip. Car insurance renews on autopilot, the rates creep up, and nobody tells you. That's what Insurify fixes. In about 2 minutes, completely free, you can see rates from more than 120 top insurance companies. And if there's nothing better today, they keep watching and notify you when there's a better rate. So go to Insurify.com. That's Insurify.com. Insurify.com.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of new items, like Honeycrisp apples for $2.99 a pound and boneless, skinless chicken breasts for just $3.99 a pound. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through November 4th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.